the parents, like I know Gaurakrishna Prabhu's father, even today, after 2 years, he still cries every single day in front of the deities for hours and hours. So, what to speak of devotees who have left? Even, you know, so many of our devotees, when they join Brahmachari Ashram, you know, their parents, they get a shock of their lives. And they cry as if the sun has left the planet. But what can be done? It's so natural for the parents. They cannot bear that separation. So the pain is very, especially Putra Shok, is very painful to bear for the parents. That's the nature of attachment in this world. It is said that attachment makes even the absent appear present. That means attachments can take us away from the present current surroundings into our dream world, where we just constantly think of that object or a thing or a person constantly. That person may not be there physically present, but he or she or that object is pervading constantly within the consciousness of that person. And a classic example of this is found in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Duryodhan, in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, while he is assessing the power of both the parties, the Pandavas and the Kurus, he addresses initially the powerful players on the Pandava side, and then, you know, he is addressing the names of all the leading people on his side. So one of the shlokas, one of the words he quotes, he says that Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha Kripascha Samatinjayah So Ashwatthama Vikarnascha Soma Dattis Tathayvacha. So he's quoting different names. It's quite intriguing here to note that Duryodhan is mentioning the name of a person, Karna. But the fact is that Karna was not at all present on the battlefield. He had already decided not to fight the war till the time Bhishma was there on the battlefield to fight. So how is it that Duryodhan is still remembering Karna? And he's quoting Karna's name as one of the powerful archer. The fact is, Karna was very much within the mind of Duryodhan. And by political maneuvering or a so-called friendship, Duryodhan had really won the heart of Karna. And when Karna also showed the antipathy towards Pandavas, Duryodhan really thought that this is the person whom I have to, you know, be with, and he can be one of the best friends of mine. So in spite of Karna not being there, Duryodhan is here quoting the name of Karna, which shows Duryodhan's attachment towards Karna. A person who is absent is still present in the mind. We also see in the 11th canto where Pururava is praying to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu appears in front of Pururava. And instead of asking for the devotional service to Lord Vishnu, Pururava is asking for some sense object. How is it? The Supreme Lord is present personally, but still, that's the power of attachment. When a person crosses a certain level of attachment, his hankering increases so much that person becomes obsessed to possess that object. And that same attachment, when a devotee shifts from the material object to the spiritual, to the otherworldly, or to Krishna, that same effect is seen even in the life of a devotee or a pure devotee, where he sees Krishna constantly everywhere and in everything in spite of Krishna's physical presence. It is said स्थावर जांगम देखी न देखी तारा मूर्ति सर्वत्र होए निज इष्ट देव स्फूर्ति. That's the quality of a devotee, where a when he transfers that material attachment to Krishna, he sees everywhere Krishna. Sarvabhuteshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavamatmanam bhutani bhagavat yatmani esha bhagavatottamah. This is the quality of a person who is bhagavatottamah, who is the best of all the devotees. He, one who is advanced in devotional service, sees within everything the souls of all souls, that is Krishna. So it was quite natural for Sandipani Muni and his wife that they had lost their son long back, but their son or their child was still present very much within their mind. So when they saw the power of Krishna and Balaram, something very divine, they thought that they are the right person who can actually get our source of attachment back. The most important part is they approach the right person. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one has a desire, no desire, or desire for liberation, what is important is approach Supreme Lord. Intensify bhakti. Yajeta purusham param. Dhruva also had a strong desire, had a strong attachment to possess something in life. But after he came in touch with the Supreme Lord, all his desires transformed. What came in between his desire and the transformed desire was the process of devotional service. When a person strictly, diligently follows the process, then all the material attachments start getting drifted or shifted towards spiritual one. So they knew the power of Krishna and Balaram, and they thought, if Krishna and Balaram wants, anything and everything is possible. Kartum akartum anyatha kartum samarthya esha ishvarha. That's a definition of God. Kartum akartum. He can do anything he likes. He can even undo if he wants. And he can turn the tables completely differently if he wants. That's the power. That's samarthya in the Supreme Lord. Anhoni ko honi karde, honi ko anhoni. This is a famous song that came long back. But that refers to Krishna and Balaram. So when problems come in our life, we think that my problem is much bigger than Krishna. We think that my problem is ultra big. Even Krishna cannot solve it. Here Sandipani Muni and his wife had a strong deep faith that if Krishna wants, he can really do things. He can really change the surface of the globe. So when we are overwhelmed with problems, our vision gets distorted and we think my problem is ultra big, even difficult for Krishna to solve. And what happens, we ourselves get so much preoccupied in solving the problem that our devotional activities like chanting and other things get distracted. And we feel that distraction is justified. Krishna, you see, there is so much problem in my life. Let me just solve this problem first and then I can focus, I can meditate more on your service. So we even sometimes feel that it's distraction is justifiable. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he's saying that contemplation on him is the first way to deal any problem. 18th chapter speaks about where Krishna speaks, Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishati atat chetvam ahankaram na shoshyati vinangshati. Krishna is saying to Arjuna that, mighty Arjuna, if you just remember me and do your activity, machitta sarva durgani, by my mercy you will cross over all the difficulties. But out of false ego, if you fail to do so, vinanshyasi, you will be destroyed. So that's Krishna's words. Tah Krishna Vahe Vasudeva Magata Swayam Pravartanta Yatha Tamuravehe. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that when Lord Krishna appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa in front of Vasudev, Krishna immediately ordered Vasudev to carry him across the Yamuna to Gokul. And it seemed very difficult. The problem was so severe that Vasudev could have thought that it's impossible. But then Vasudev, without a second thought, he just lifted Krishna, and what happened? What followed next was all the doors opened, all the shackles opened up, all the guards, they went to sleep. Yamuna gave away to Vasudev, and he came back safely. So our acharyas explain that if we carry Krishna attentively within our mind, then no problem of this world is difficult to solve. The oppositions becomes opportunities. And all the jerks and the bumps that a person experiences will have no powerful impact on that person. So that's power of putting Krishna first before our problem, thinking that my problem is bigger than Krishna. For Krishna, it's not a big deal to solve any of the problems. If he wants, kartum akartum anyatha kartum, he can do anything if he is pleased. And basically he can even empower us to tackle that problem by either giving us the tolerance or giving us the strength to transcend that problem. So for Krishna it's not a big thing. But it's we who have to have first faith in Krishna. The problem with us is we put half-hearted faith in Krishna. And that's the result. That's the reason. We feel very much dejected when we don't see the response or the prayers being fulfilled. And it is said that for a great devotee, he starts seeing the problems of his life as an opportunity to see Krishna's bigness. And he sees and experiences the wonder that Krishna does in his life when he encounters problems or difficulties. So now Krishna and Balaram has reached Prabha's Kshetra. In order to fulfill the desires of his guru. And just as Krishna approached the ocean deity, Samudra Dev, in order to rescue the son of his teacher, similarly, we see in Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra, he also approached Samudra Dev at Rameshwaram in order to get Sita back by asking for a help from Samudra Dev so that he could build a bridge or setu across to reach Lanka. Radhanath Maharaj in one of his lectures was saying that what was the need for Lord Ram or Lord Krishna to ask anyone for help when everything belongs to them. They can do anything and everything, and that's what they do every time, whatever they want. But still, they are asking the favor of the Samudra Dev in both the cases. So Maharaj was saying that in the process of asking favor, it's a favor done to Samudra Dev so that he can engage himself in the service of the Lord and thereby attain purification. So Maharaj was trying to make this point that it's not Lord who needs the favor, but it's we who need Lord's help desperately. In Ramayana, when Lord Ram, he sat down in meditation for 3 days, but still there was no response from Samudradev. So Maharaj was saying, that's the same condition of a conditioned soul. That in spite of Lord approaching, a conditioned soul is so rebellious that he doesn't want to really hear or attain to Lord's appeal. As a result, what happened? Lord simply glanced on Samudradev. And what happened? The entire ocean started, entire ocean became so agitated that all the aquatics from the bottom of the ocean started coming up on the surface. And Samudradev realized, it's too much for me to handle. He understood the power of Lord Ram's, just a glance. So maybe here when Samudradev comes in front, he understood that Lord Ram is, Lord Krishna is none other than that Lord Ram. So he immediately agreed to Lord's proposal. And he assisted in Lord's mission. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains in the 7th canto where Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narsingadev, Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabha Purno Manam Janada Vidusha Karuno Vrinete Tattad Yadyajano Bhagavate Vidadita Manam Tachatmane Pratimukhasya Yatha Mukhashri. He's saying, my dear Lord, that it's not me who is doing favor to you by offering wonderful prayers, but it's me who is getting benefited. You are nija labha purna. That means one who is completely self-satisfied. He does not need any external service to be satisfied. And he gives an example. When a face is decorated, automatically the reflection of that face in a mirror gets decorated. So he's saying it's we who get benefited, it's we who need the favor and not the Lord. And Prabhupada in the purport gives a beautiful statement. He's saying that all these 9 processes of bhakti, starting from Shravanam to Atmanivedanam, they are not meant for the Lord. They are meant for the benefit of the devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes that Lord is already glorious. Lord does not need any glorification. It's a devotee who becomes glorious and purified in the process of glorifying the Supreme Lord. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, during the churning of milk ocean, Samudra Manthan, so many objects came out. One of the personalities that came out was Sri Lakshmi Devi. And when Lakshmi Devi appeared, it is said that Tasyam Chakru Spriha Sarve Sa Sura Sura Manavaha Rup Audarya Vayo Varnaha Mahima Akshipta Chetasaha. When Lakshmiji appeared from the ocean, everyone, including the demigods and the demons, got attracted by seeing the exquisite beauty, Rup Audarya, Vayo Varna, the age, the complexion and her glories. And everyone started Spriha Sarve, they developed a desire to possess her. And in order to get her attention, in order to get her glance, they all started serving her. and all the it is said all the different demigods started getting different paraphernalias for her pleasure. The Ganges and the Yamuna, they started getting waters in the golden pot. Indra got the throne for her to sit. Varundev got a beautiful garland for her. Brahmaji gave a lotus flower. Saraswati gave a beautiful necklace. And so on and so forth. So many devotees, so many demons and the demigods, especially the demigods, they tried serving her to catch her attention. But they realized that she is not at all interested in all these things. Like the whole world is in favor, needs the favor of Lakshmiji. Like during Lakshmi Puja, the people send SMS, Happy Diwali. So I got one SMS. It's worth mentioning. This SMS was in Hindi. It says that Safalta aapke kadam har dam chumti rahe. Safalta aapke kadam har dam chumti rahe. Khushiya aapke charo aur ghumti rahe. Safalta aapke kadam har dam chumti rahe. Khushiya aapke charo aur ghumti rahe. Yash ki khushbu itni phaile ki kasturi bhi sharma jaye. यश की खुशबू इतनी फैले कि कस्तूरी भी शर्मा जाए, लक्ष्मी की कृपा इतनी हो कि तिरुपति बालाजी भी देखते रह जाए. Someone just sent me this. So, no, everyone is in need of that favor, especially Lakshmi ji, more than Narayan. So here, even the demigods were looking for Lakshmiji's favor, but they realized that Lakshmiji is in a different mood. Vilokayanti niramadyam atmanam padam dhruvam cha vyabichari shatgunam gandharva siddha surayaksha charana traipishta peyadishunanva vindata. Vilokayanti niramadyam atmanam. Lakshmiji started looking on the entire audience. Vilokayanti, and she started looking for a right match, for a perfect husband. But she, her standard of selecting husband was way beyond. What was her expectation? Niravadhyam atmanam, one who is devoid of any faults, and one who possesses all the good qualities. But she realized that in the entire assembly, everyone is born with some deficiency or inadequacy. No one is a complete man. Her standard of selection was based on character and the skill, character and the qualities, not on the competency or the skills, which we see in this world where people, if they want to select a man, an opposite partner, they select based on the competency of that person, the externals of that person. But here Lakshmiji wanted something deep, internal qualities, who is, or a person who is free of any faults, free of any faults. Noonam tapo, she starts thinking. Nunam tapo yasyana manyu nirjayo jnanam kvachit tachana sanga varjitam kaschin maham stasyana kama nirjaya sa ishvara kim parato vyapashvayah. She is thinking that here in this assembly there are so many wonderful exalted personalities. There are many who have done so much tapasya, but still that personality is not free from anger. Na manyu nirjayah. There are personalities who have so much knowledge, but still they are not free from material desires. Then she says, there are great souls who have conquered so much, but they have not conquered lusty desires. Sa Ishwaro Kim, how can that person be the supreme controller? Parato Vyapashraya, when something else is controlling him. Then she says, Dharma Kvachit, dharma kvachit tatrna bhuta saurudam tyaga kvachit tashchana mukti karanam viryam napumso ajavega niskritam nahi dvitiyo gunasanga vajitam. There are persons who have been religious in this assembly, but they are not equal or kind to other living entities. Then she says that someone who has renounced, but that's not the cause of liberation. Someone may be a very powerful personality in this world, but that person is still nothing in compared to the power of time. He cannot control time factor. And there is no one in this assembly who is free from the three modes of material nature. And then she continues assessing who is the rightful person, who is the person who is free from all faults, and she realizes there is no match. But then, this is the point which we want to come to. She looks, her glance goes to Lord Vishnu. Evam vimrushya vyabhichari shadguner varam nijeka shvayataya gunashvayam vavre varam sarvaguner apekshitam rama mukundam nirapeksham ipsitam. Evam vimrushya, after full deliberation, she garlanded or she accepted Lord Vishnu as her husband. Although she realized that Vishnu is completely independent and not in want of her. Vishnu doesn't even need Lakshmi's favor. The initial verse where we quoted, Tasyam Chakru Spriha Sarve, everyone desired to possess Lakshmi. And here the word uses nirapeksham ipsitaha, the only person who was free from the desire to even possess Lakshmi was Lord Vishnu. That means it proves beyond doubt that Lord Vishnu doesn't come under the category of ordinary demigods or an ordinary living entity of this world. He is way beyond, far beyond the three modes of material nature. So she realized that it's not me who needs him. It's me who needs him, and it's not he who needs me. But out of Lord Krishna's kindness, Lord is engaging me in his service. That's the only privilege a living entity has, to serve the Lord, because Lord allows him to serve. If he becomes proud of, there is nothing to be proud of, because there are so many wonderful devotees in the spiritual who are excelling in the same service unto this lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And he doesn't have to even complain of any service. He doesn't have to crib, because there are many whom Lord Vishnu can make instruments in his service. So it's a great privilege. Radhanath Maharaj said once, devotional service is not a burden, it's a privilege for a living entity. So, so it is Lord's kindness upon all the living entities when we get to serve Him. In fact, Radhanath Maharaj in his autobiography, Journey Home, he recalls his first encounter with a personality called Ghanshyam Baba. When Maharaj was in Vrindavan, someone took him to this temple called Radha Gopijan Vallabh. And there he saw an old man with torn clothes, doing aarti or fanning the deities of Radha Gopijan Vallabh. And after the aarti, he immediately came out and he started touching the feet of all the devotees, all the people assembled there. and he started saying that you all have come here because Krishna has called you here. It's Krishna who has brought you here, and I am Krishna's servant and you are Krishna's guest. So my main service is to serve you all. So Maharaj says, this was my first encounter with Ghanshyam Baba. And Maharaj continued, it's a long story, but when Ghanshyam Baba became very old, he would still every day fetch water from Yamuna to bathe Gopijan Vallabh. So one time Maharaj happened to come early in the morning, and he saw in a very painful and a difficult manner, he was still trying to hold and carry that bucket for bathing. So Maharaj immediately went and asked him if he could help him. So he immediately stopped Radhanath Maharaj, and he said that you are Gopijan Vallabh's young friend and I am his old servant. Your main service is to go to Vrindavan and enjoy Vrindavan. That will make me more happy. But Maharaj immediately interrupted. Maharaj said, but I'll be more happy to hold bucket and take that bucket from your hand. So he immediately replied, saying that I am a very poor old man. The only wealth I have is the service that I owe to Radha Gopijan Vallabh. And he said, his eyes became very red and started swelling in tears. And he said that if you take away this service from me, you will take away my life. So please allow me to live by allowing me to serve. And Maharaj was so deeply touched. Maharaj writes the final conclusion. He says that Ghanshyam Baba was one of the wealthiest and the happiest man I had ever met. A simple man who simply loved God. The first thing that he says is wealthiest. There are wealthy people in this world, but not all wealthy people are happy. But he's saying he's the wealthiest and the happiest amongst all the people that he ever met. So this is a privilege that we have received. We cannot let it go. So just to conclude, here we see in this world, Krishna is exemplifying the words in Bhagavad Gita, tad viddhi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya updekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. Krishna is personally himself going out of his way to follow the instruction of a spiritual master. Without any question, without any second thought, without any calculation. So, that's the ideal standard that is expected from a disciple. Which is, I feel, is too much at this point. But then, even if a disciple tries, understanding the will of his Guru Maharaj and makes an attempt to please him, then it is said the empowerment is guaranteed. The words of spiritual master are loaded, they are pregnant with the intense desire to please Krishna. So when one follows those words, Krishna helps that person to fulfill his Guru's desire. I'll just end with this wonderful story that comes in this book called A Miracle on a Second Avenue by His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj. Prabhupada started his first center in America, in New York, in 26 Second Avenue. And when he was staying there, it was one of many devotees helped Prabhupada start this center, and one of the person who helped Prabhupada was Michael Grant and his good wife Jan, who later on got initiated and became Mukund and Janki. So then Prabhupada initiated them. Then after initiation, they got married. And he had a strong fear that he may have to go to Vietnam for a war. But somehow Krishna helped him come out of that difficult times. So then he thought, I want to go to India. So then he one day came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, that time they would refer Prabhupada to Swamiji. So then he came to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, myself and Janki wants to go to India tomorrow, and we need your permission. And could you please help us in giving some contact person whom can help us, because we are going to India for the first time. So we don't know anyone there. So then Prabhupada, Swamiji gave him the contact person, and Swamiji asked, so will you be flying from here? So then he said that, no, we will be first going to a place called Oregon, the place from where I belong to. And Janki's uncle and aunt, they stay there. So we'll first visit them, and then from Oregon we'll fly to India. So then Prabhupada said, fine. Prabhupada gave his permission. So then when he was about to leave, he couldn't make out, how should I leave? So then he got confused, and there was a big pause in between before he left. So then he said, let me tell something to Prabhupada. So then before leaving, he made a statement to Prabhupada, Swamiji. He said, Swamiji, California would be a nice place for you to start a new center. There are a lot of Indians who are interested in spirituality, and they are very open-minded. So Prabhupada just nodded his head. And then he said, okay, Swamiji, Hare Krishna. And then he paid his obeisances and was about to leave. And then Swamiji interrupted. Swamiji, Prabhupada spoke very softly. And he said, he called Mukunda, if you can open a center on the west coast in Oregon, it would be a great service. You will do a great service to the mission. So then he got confused. He said, why is Swamiji asking me, after all the goodbyes that I told him, why is he asking me to open a center? I just asked him to open a center in California, not with the intention that I would have to lead. But then he just thought, he just halfly nodded, and he said, okay, Swamiji. And he left. So next day, he and Janki and Janki's sister, Jan, they all left for a journey to Oregon. So, but what happened? What happens is, before reaching Oregon, they took a detour. And they decided to visit their college friends. Their name was Dustin and Melody, whom they had not met since long time. But they thought, let us just go and meet them before we go to Oregon and meet your uncle and aunt. So then what happens is, they meet Dustin and Melody, and in the night they share their heart and tells how their life has now transformed, and how Swamiji has played a very vital role. And a long discussion carried all throughout the night. And in that discussion, Dustin and Melody got so much influenced that they told to Mukunda that, hey Mike, it seems that you all are naturally happy without taking drugs. You are naturally high without taking drugs. And it seems to me that it's just because you have met Swamiji, and Swamiji has brought that transformation in your life. I want to meet that Swamiji. Can I go and meet him? So he said, fine, you can go and you can go to New York and meet him. I am going to India. But then he said, but actually before leaving, Swamiji told me that he would like to start center here in West Coast. And in fact, he told me to start the center. As soon as Dustin and Melody heard that, they started looking at each other. And they told Mukund and Janki, if you want, we can help you start center here. The best place to open the center is San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury. But he said, no, this is not the time. I am going to India. Now started a strong tug of war within his mind. A fight between duty and desire. His strong desire was to go to India. This was for the third time that he had planned to go to India, and someone was again interrupting in his plans to go to India. He had heard so much about India, the Indian culture. He very much wanted to experience the Indian spiritual vibrations. And he in fact got the permission even from Swamiji. So he thought that it's bona fide to go to India. But now, what happened is, he told Dustin and Melody that we are going to our aunt's place in Oregon and I will decide. Let's see. So when he reached his aunt's and Janki's aunt's and uncle's place at Klamath Fall, that's a place, he saw a letter from Prabhupada that had arrived before him, because he had given him the address of his of this place at Oregon. And he read that letter, and Prabhupada is very much again reminding him. And Prabhupada is telling that there is a lot of success that we are achieving here in New York, and he's eagerly waiting for his return. So now he started reading and rereading that letter. He started weighing one side India, one side San Francisco. Those words of Prabhupada started echoing in his mind again and again. Mukunda, if you can start a center in West Coast, you will do a great service. And he underwent such turmoil that finally he decides and he allows the desire of his guru to overweigh his desire to just go to India for his own enjoyment. And then that's the consequence is, they immediately cancelled all the flights to India, got the refund, and without knowing where to go, whom to approach, they just shifted to San Francisco. And the first thing they did after reaching San Francisco was that they called up Dustin and Melody. And they were so happy that they said that we are also joining. And within few days, even Dustin and Melody joined them. And then, rest is all history. ISKCON got to start its second center on the West Coast, San Francisco. So many wonderful devotees joined ISKCON in San Francisco. That same good friend of Mukunda and Janki, Dustin, got initiated and got the name Shyam Sundar. And Melody got the name Malati. And Janki's sister, Jan, got the name Yamuna. And Jan's boyfriend, Jim, got the name Gurudas. And so many wonderful devotees got to join in San Francisco, all because of one person who just decided to align his desire with the desire of his spiritual master. When Prabhupada arrived in San Francisco, he created sensation by appearing in that rock concert at Avalon Ballroom. And so many hippies got the exposure to Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And it's the same place where the first Jagannath Rath Yatra started ever. So, had Mukunda gone to India, the Indian culture would have never come to San Francisco. San Francisco would have never got that name, New Jagannath Puri. And we would have not got that chance to see the dedicated disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada once told to all of his godbrothers that this girl called Malati, if I order him, she can cut her throat for me and I can cut my throat for her. That's a perfection of a relationship between a disciple and a guru, where a guru trusts his disciple so much that that's the cherished moments for a disciple. So if we just align our desires along with the desires of spiritual master, then we will ourselves see wonders and miracles happening in our own lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasrimad Bhagavatam ki, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Jai.